It's time for the Wisp Politics Book Club, celebrating Wisconsin authors and books about politics, government, and history.
Hi, everybody. I'm Jeff Mayers. I'm here with the latest edition of the Wisp Politics Book Club, and I'm here talking to Dean Strang. He's an attorney in Madison and author of Worse Than the Devil, Anarchist, Clarence Darrow, and Justice in a Time of Terror. This is a revised edition from UW Press. Welcome, Dean. How are you today?
I'm well. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's an honor to meet you in person. So, you know, this book is about an incident or a crime that occurred 100 years ago in Milwaukee, but it still reverberates today, which is why I picked this book to focus on. So tell us a little bit about this crime that occurred 100 years ago and its perhaps larger significance.
Well, the book starts with a bang, literally, and that's an explosion that destroyed much of the Milwaukee Central Police Station on Saturday night, November 24, 1917. It was a dynamite bomb intended to kill people. That is, it was loaded with bolts and nuts and other heavy shrapnel. But it wasn't intended for the
police station.
Kind of like an IED today. Much like an IED today. It wasn't intended for the police station. That the bomb ended up at the police station was accident. It was intended for a church run by an Italian former priest who had become a Methodist minister, and that ties you back to an earlier set of events 2 months prior in the Bayview area of Milwaukee, or what is now the Bayview area of Milwaukee.
So, if I would describe this, so Italian immigrants are charged with this crime, and you raise questions about, you examined the charges, examined the trial in which they're convicted, and then the appeal by one Clarence Darrow. But before we get to Clarence Darrow, I guess I want to ask about a comparison today. You wrote this revised edition at a time when there's a lot of rhetoric against Muslims, and which is increasing every time there's a terrorist attack, either in in Europe. So, what are the comparisons between then and now? Justice system then and now?
Well, I, Jeff, do think it's a representative story in a sense. This is legal history about one case, but there are parallels to in the World War I era. The great concern were Italian immigrants, to some extent German Americans or German immigrants. And, you know, as you move forward in U.S. history during World War II and after, it would have been communists, especially people from the Eastern Bloc, civil rights protesters in the 50s and 60s, anti-war protesters in the 60s. And into the 70s, and in many ways, Muslim immigrants today, or Arabic-speaking people in general. So the themes of fear of outsiders and enhanced nationalism, especially when we're at war or fearful of impending war, unfortunately are recurrent.
So, actually, you have a quote here in a recent interview in a legal publication. Americans have a deep, basic faith in the accuracy of accusation in this country for whatever reason. All a lawyer can do is try to reduce or minimize the injustice being done. So all these years, since 1917, we haven't made any progress?
Oh, I don't say we've made no progress. For example, the bombing in 1917, no one actually was prosecuted for that. There was a proxy trial against the 11 Italians that you've described for much less serious events 2 months earlier. Federal law enforcement has advanced enormously in the 100 years since 1917 in its forensic ability, in its investigative depth and skill. So it's not that we've made no advances. In police interview techniques, we've moved on since the 1930s from physical coercion in the main Now the issues are much more psychological. But some of the underlying problems nonetheless persist because they're simply facets or flaws of human nature.
Okay, but you still, I mean, you still feel, oh, you're a criminal defense attorney. You, I mean, your life's work is defending those who may not, nobody else may want to defend, and because they need representation. That's your viewpoint. Some people say, well, you know, the heck with those folks.
Well, and the criminal defense lawyer does stand with the other, who, you know, those who are outgrouped. For whatever reason, impoverishment, newcomer status, you know, unfamiliar language and habits. That's the role of the criminal defense lawyer, to stand with the other, those who are outgrouped. And I think we'll always need people to serve as a voice for the outsider and to try to sweep them into our community, just as we need police and prosecutors to try to keep the community safe.
Okay, I'm talking with Dean Strang. He's author of Worse Than the Devil, Anarchist, Clarence Darrow, and Justice in a Time of Terror. Clarence Darrow, man, I mean, the great Clarence Darrow, you know, involved in an appeal to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And then you uncovered something in this book that you say perhaps tried directly to corrupt the justice system. You uncovered some a trove of documents in the Wisconsin Historical Society files. What did you find, and did it make you think less of one Clarence Darrow?
Well, there's pretty strong evidence in the form of grand jury transcripts that the district attorney in Milwaukee County at the time of this the trial and the events in this book colluded with Darrow, and he with the district attorney to put one over on the Wisconsin Supreme Court to falsify the trial record. The great irony of that, if it happened, and it probably did, the great irony is that the Wisconsin Supreme Court reversed most of the convictions on grounds that couldn't have been phonied up. You know, so in a sense, if they if there was a corrupt conspiracy to falsify the trial record, it failed in the sense that the defense didn't need that. But Clarence Darrow remains to me a fascinating figure.
I got to tell you that the book lays out a nice history, a nice history of Clarence Darrow himself, which, you know, some of which I knew and some of which I didn't, but is very helpful in setting the scene here because he was not an appellate attorney. He was a trial attorney.
In the
like
main,
you.
He's remembered as a trial attorney, not an appellate attorney. And indeed, appeals were a small part of his practice. But if you take a clear-eyed look at Clarence Darrow, you either can view him as a saintly sinner or a sinning saint. But he's a very mixed, very human man. And that's part of why he remains so compelling to me now, 80 years after he died, almost 80 years, 79 years after he died. He's really a very, very human figure, flawed, noble, often ignoble as well. Had a good deal of foresight and was ahead by decades of the legal profession in some of the things he did, but also in some ways represented the worst of our profession with a willingness to corrupt the process.
You were right. It wasn't just one single incident. There were some of several over time, which leads you, a pattern may have set in, right?
The famous accusations against him concerned allegations of jury tampering in 1911 in Los Angeles when he was defending the McNamara brothers for the Los Angeles Times bombing. Even today, this is part of what's interesting about Clarence Darrow, even today there are active contests over whether Darrow was or wasn't guilty of tampering with that jury. But there's certainly reason on the whole to suspect that he didn't turn sharp corners.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about current events again in terms of something you did recently in advocating for an increase in pay for court-appointed attorneys. You know, not every state has court-appointed attorneys. Wisconsin does, but pays them $40 an hour. Okay, that hasn't been changed in a while, I take it. And, you know, and people may say, well, geez, these defense attorneys, they really need to make money at this? Or, you know, what's your why should court-appointed attorneys get more than $40 an hour?
Well, the rate for court-appointed lawyers in 1978 was $35 an hour. You know, most people have had more than a $5 an hour raise since 1978, especially if they've invested a good deal in their human capital with, you know, graduate schooling. More than 80% of people charged with crimes in Wisconsin and in any state in this country are too poor to hire a lawyer. That means that under the Sixth Amendment to the United States Constitution, unfortunately, the taxpayers have to provide defense counsel. When you're providing defense counsel at a rate of compensation that now is almost $2 an hour less than the average overhead of running even a solo law practice, you're not going to get adequate representation, at least some of the time. And, you know, in general, dentists expect to be paid when they work on our teeth. Doctors expect to be paid when they work for us in the hospital.
And if they're working on Medicaid recipients, they're getting reimbursed.
They're absolutely getting reimbursed. Architects, everybody else expects to be paid for their time. Law has a pro bono tradition, but one can't live on free work alone. And if we want outcomes in our criminal justice system, which is adversarial, if we want outcomes that are safe, that are reliable, if we want to have confidence that we're clearing the right people and sending the right people to prison, then you need a functioning adversary system in which both sides are adequately funded. And honestly, we're not funding either side adequately today in Wisconsin, but this situation is especially dire on the defense side, where, you know, if I were to take a court appointment in a Wisconsin state criminal case today with a law firm overhead that approaches $200 an hour on an hourly basis, I'd be losing $160 an hour, and in effect subsidizing the prosecution of my own client to the tune of $160 an hour for every hour I spent on that case. That's really outrageous. And some of the lawyers who manage to take these cases at $40 an hour are heroes in the sense that they're donating their time, and they're worth much more than we're paying them. Others are about what you would expect in a legal market where regularly billable rates are $400.
So another, what you're saying is you're being nice about it, but some of the accused are getting less than adequate representation because the rate is so low.
They're getting incompetent representation.
Okay, Lauren.
Some of these 80%+ of people charged with crimes in the state. Now, the state public defender's office handles about 60% of our indigent defendants and on the whole performs very well in the funding situation is a little better for the state public defender, but not great. Mm-hmm. You want to see a sharp, sharp illustration of the sort of disparity in funding of the prosecution as opposed to the defense in our system? Last week, the Joint Finance Committee approved raises of something like 6% for assistant district attorneys and 1.3% for their colleagues in the state public defender's office. It's a remarkable and ugly disparity that we're seeing played out, and this $40 an hour rate for the court-appointed lawyers who take 40% of the indigent caseload that the state public defender can't take because of lack of resources and also legal conflicts, conflicts of interest. The $40 an hour rate hasn't gone up at all since 1994 and only $5 since 1978 is indefensible.
Okay. Well, thank you, Dean Strang, who is author of Worse Than the Devil, Anarchist, Clarence Darrow, and Justice in a Time of Terror. This is the revised edition from UW Press. Pick it up. It's an interesting read. And I thank you, Dean Strang. And this is Jeff Mayers signing off for the WIS Politics Book Club.
The WIS Politics Book Club is brought to you by generous sponsors. See them in the archive of these podcasts at wispolitics.com.
There's hot time in old town, downtown tonight. old